come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. I don't know what episode this is, but it's pretty high up there in numbers. You can find all of our past episodes.
180s somewhere.
Right?
Yeah. Somewhere.
You can probably check this out. Isn't that awesome? You can on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and more everywhere that great podcasts are given away for free. These are the internet radio superstars.
Holly.
Guest Dave.
Travis.
And I'm Colin. And every week we watch a movie, then we sit around and talk about it. And tonight it was Travis's pick. And Travis, what did we watch tonight?
We watched Superman 3, The Quest for a Superman Sequel.
Oh,
from
boy.
1983, I want to say.
And directed by?
Richard Lester.
Who also directed?
Superman 2 and The Three Musketeers and The Fourth Musketeer.
Yeah. You hear the story about that one? That was the movie that, because the Salkinds, the producers on these movies, they contracted everybody to make a movie, The Three Musketeers. And then they cut it in two. And so they didn't pay them for two movies, and they sued, and like the actors sued. And then there was like a clause with the that was created called the Salkind Clause with the Screen Actors Guild. So you can't ever do that again, motherfuckers.
So there should have only been one and a half Musketeers.
Well, because Superman 1 and 2 were filmed together. It was supposed to be one movie, yeah. And so that's something they do to kind of cheat them, like try to film two movies in one, and
yeah,
try to expand the story.
Well, the Salkinds, they were...
Yeah, Alexander Ilya Salkind. There are three generations of producers. I want to say Michael Salkind, Ilya's grandfather. The claim to fame to the Salkind name, as far as I can tell, is that Michael Salkind... I think it's Michael, Jesus, Mikhail, I don't know.
They're Russian.
Right? Whatever.
Mikhail.
I know, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, he produced the first Greta Garbo film. And he was famous for, like, producing a lot of silent films. But I imagine the Greta Garbo things, the big, like, you know, found Greta Garbo, but, you know, produced.
So he's movie producer elite.
And then his son, Alexander Salkind. And then Ilya Salkind, his son. Like, I looked at Alexander and Ilya. I think they just produced movies together. There's maybe one or two maybe that Alexander did apart from Ilya, and maybe the same with Ilya, but it looks like all of them are father and son pictures.
Well, what are they famous for? The Three and Four Musketeers, Superman's and Santa Claus the Movie.
Santa Claus the Movie.
And the Musketeers, these are the British Musketeers, right?
Like this. Well, I think aren't they
British?
It was in I think it's like Michael York and Richard Chamberlain and Faye Dunaway,
but
right?
But not to be confused with the 90s Three Musketeers.
Right, at all.
Are you starting a theme? Is this your first movie of those directors?
No, because
I haven't listened for a couple of weeks, so I'm not up on the freak show, sorry.
We've only done Man of Steel and now Superman 3 when it comes to Superman movies. So we've never, because, I mean, we're not going to watch any more Richard Lester, the Leslie and David Newman scripts and three and four are just like, well, we did three, so.
Well,
like,
Leslie Newman and David Newman, husband and wife, brother and sister?
I think they're husband and wife, and I think they might have also written one of those Three Musketeer or Four Musketeer movies.
Oh, yeah, I betcha.
Baby.
Yeah,
well, they did a take on, I want to say they were, like, the Mario Puzo wrote Superman 1 and 2, the main kind of
Bible.
He was
the first guy that they went to?
He was the very first guy, because that's how they got Marlon Brando, you know.
The Newmans came in and rewrote Puzo?
They rewrote Puzo, and then Tom...
Makowitz,
yeah.
Is that where the wackiness comes from?
The wackiness comes from... Because, you know, the legend goes that the original Superman was supposed to be like a Batman 66. Like, you know, hey, we're doing a cartoon, you know, or, you know, this is a comic book. Ooh-hoo, you know, punch, pow, whiz. And you can tell those jokes. But under Richard Donner's Helm, those jokes fucking work in some weird way. They're like really like, ah, oh, that's kind of fun and classic, you know?
Well, he mixes like there's a gravitas, right, to Superman in the first, at least the first movie.
Verisimilitude, right? That's yeah, Richard Donner's right. Yeah. Verisimilitude. It means truth. That means the movie you're making, you got to believe in it. It's not fantasy. It's not, you know, the first line of Superman the movie is, this is no mere fantasy. No, my, you know, he just tells you right from the get-go, it's not a fantasy, right?
Yeah, but he treats Superman, I guess there's a respect, maybe, from the filmmakers.
Parker's right, he's American, right? That's what I did
in the first
movie.
The Cell Kind.
Right, we're getting...
Well, because the second movie, only half of the second movie was directed by Richard Donner. And then Richard Lester filled in once, because, I mean, Superman, just learning how to fly, you know, the budget went over, yeah. The time went
Wait,
over.
Wait, does everybody
this
know
jazz.
This story? Like, this is like one of the craziest fucking
it's
stories.
One of the, I think
in
it's one
Hollywood
of the best
history.
Hollywood stories.
You know this about Superman? That it was which, filmed as Superman
1 and
2? Two,
no, were, that's the first I've ever heard of it.
They were filmed as one movie by Richard Donner, right? And so the Superman 2...
So
but
Zod,
not all of it.
With Zod and all the Phantom Zone, that was yeah, but, all filmed at the same time the yeah. first Superman was filmed. Yes.
And but, Superman 2 was supposed to end with him turning back the clock.
But they ran so over time and so over budget that Warner Brothers and the Cell Kinds are like, you know what, hey, let's just release the first movie, yeah. take profits from that, and finish Superman 2. But then once Superman's a success, they're like, we can get rid of this Donner dude.
Yeah, so they fired Richard Donner.
That was supposed to be a really epic movie.
It
yeah.
should have yeah, been. If Richard Donner would have been, you yeah. know,
Fuck,
it would have
been
epic.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. It would have been great, dude. It would have been great. Also, because the cast was kind of vocal about it. And a lot of people theorize that that's why Margot Kidder is not so much in this one. Is because the cast was really like, dude, they loved Richard Donner. I mean, mm-hmm. the guy... I mean, fuck, look at Superman
Well, yeah,
movie.
Because that was the thing. Gene Hackman, I think, said basically he wasn't going to show up for work for under Richard Lester, right?
All so, the stuff with Gene Hackman was already shot yeah. with Donner. Because Gene Hackman and Marlon Brando both were only scheduled for like 2 weeks or some shit. So yeah. anything in Superman 2 with Gene Hackman is actually directed under Richard Donner.
Yeah.
Which some critics have been like, Richard Donner's or Gene Hackman's better under the direction of Richard Lester. But it was Richard Donner's scenes, you yeah. know?
And Marlon Brando was supposed to be in Superman 2 still as Jor-El. But because he said, fuck you, I'm not coming back under this other guy, they got Superman's mom to fill in those scenes. So basically she gets to deliver
wow,
like what would have been Brando's part. In Superman 2. And then Lester, so he finished the movie, but he also created...
Because, like, Lester was, like, the Salkind's dude,
yeah,
right? Because like,
he had done the Musketeers
movies. Dude, during the shooting of Superman, they had Richard Lester come in. I mean, this is why the tension on set was really fucking tight, because they basically almost had, like, a... If Donner goes over whatever, over budget, over we got this assistant... kind of guy looking over his shoulder, kind of ready to replace him.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, Donner, yeah, I love...
Well, because Richard Donner at this point was only, like, the reason he got the job is because he directed The Omen in 76,
right.
And so his next move up was to do the Superman movie. So he really didn't have much of a career to stand on, mm-hmm. right, at that point. I mean,
can you imagine
TV director
setting the
before.
Bar for a Superman movie at that...
All superhero movies.
That time.
Iron Man is... Superman the movie.
I mean, that must have that would have at least gone, you know, 2 hours combining those two movies.
I think it was
it would
gonna
have,
be
it
like
would have been, it
I
would have
been, say,
been
like 3 hours. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if they cut it, you know, the right way to where it would have been like a you know, Godfather type of you
right,
know,
yeah.
long movie, not now where you can go to the theater
would
instead
be
of
great.
There for 4 hours for a Civil War type of movie.
I mean, right. the fact yeah. that you could see the Richard Donner cut, like as much as.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
been released now. The Richard Donner Superman 2 has been reconstructed as best they can and released on video.
They used to say that was one of their marketing ploys was you will believe a man can fly. And man, when we were kids,
I remember
you really thought he was. You know, flying up. It was really
I remember
cool.
that thing being huge. I mean, like, I remember going to, there was a store called Goldblatt's, which I don't think is around
yeah.
anymore. And Superman was there and you got to go meet him. I remember him being at the record store. They had
it was like
these...
some janitor from the wreck.
Yeah,
or
I don't
something
know.
Like...
I don't know. Yeah. But it was a dude in a costume. I have a picture of me with him at some. You
I
know...
met Michelangelo when the first Turtles came out.
But But to a kid, I mean, that was a huge...
Yeah, you'd be surprised at what set you off. I mean, that's, Electric Company, Spider-Man, or Superman showing up at the mall, or, you know, something really cool like that. I was like, holy shit. You know, there was a... the role play kind of Comic-Con, you know, outfits that are so extreme anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can see it every day. Yeah, it was
for
like,
sure.
Holy shit. It's like going shit, to
the
amusement really
parks
cool...
and meeting Mickey Mouse. It's the same concept. Yeah. You know,
your mom wasn't making any kind of super suit as cool as whatever that guy was wearing. I mean, the stitching kind of sucked, and, you know, but it was, at least it was there.
So when the Salkinds basically ran out of Mario Puzo genius,
or Tom Mankiewicz, God bless him, who wrote that fucking movie.
But still, Mario Puzo still came up with the whole idea of both the movies, with the Phantom Zone dudes coming back. I mean, this is all Puzo, right? Mm-hmm. Puzo went to DC, like, looked through their archives, pulled out Zod, and... So then Ilya Salkind, you know, they're just left, right? They don't know DC, really. They just have this property. It's like, we got Superman. We got to make more movies. We got to make more stuff. We got to make Supergirl.
Franchise.
Superboy. Yeah. Anything we can do, right? And so the story goes that I think it was Pierre Spengler, who is the other French producer that worked on Superman, the movie, Superman 2, and I'm sure with a bunch of other stuff that the Salkinds did. Well, he saw Richard Pryor on the Johnny Carson show just talking about how he would love to be in a Superman movie. And they're like,
what?
Wing. Because you have to remember.
Genius.
You have to remember the only reason Superman the movie got made, before they even had a script, I think, they went right to, they got Marlon Brando and Gene Hackman.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they got investors. Hey, we're making Superman. We got Marlon Brando as Jor-El, and we got Gene Hackman as Luthor.
Yeah.
That's
it. They like paid Brando like $3 million or something for
5 minutes.
It was 3 days or something. Yeah. Like that, or a day or something.
Yeah, I think that's why he didn't come back for two. Not necessarily the Richard Donner thing. It was just like,
his stuff was already shot because it's in the.
It was
stuff.
Already shot.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because
he said, "Fuck you, you can't use it."
Is it because they ended? Because
he's Brando.
I think
he was already going crazy at the time. So
yeah.
Didn't really matter. So they're just like, these guys, the Salkinds, they make movies based off.
I was gonna say,
who's the star?
Whose fucking crazy idea was it? Who said? Richard Pryor.
You know what Superman needs? Richard Pryor.
He's a legend.
At the time.
We do see that in today's movies, though. Like, LL Cool J. Oh, all rappers go to horror movies. Well, they did. Like, in that, what was that stretch? 2000, like, seven to, like, they were just like, is there a rapper in your horror movie?
Yeah. But traditionally, the audience for horror movies is, like, an urban audience. Like, Superman? Like, Richard Pryor
No.
It's more like a Kevin Hart kind of thing. Because Kevin Hart's in a bunch of movies. He's a popular comedian. He cracks people up.
It's true.
Richard Pryor was doing the same thing back then. You know, that's why they were putting, you know, Robin Williams in all kinds of movies.
A couple of years later, would it have been Eddie Murphy?
Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
Let me spill some Superman. Yeah. This is Superman.
No, but I mean,
this is Superman history. This is Superman history. I'm going to tell everybody right now. The reason why Richard Pryor would want to be in a Superman movie so badly is the Superman. Radio show actually has ties to kind of not getting rid of, but making it harder for the KKK to assemble. It was really weird. Like, Superman the Radio Show had a little hand in this with these three episode arcs or whatever. And a lot of like KKK members have been cited as saying, like, well, it's hard to, like, go out and do this thing when your kid is pretending to be Superman and fighting against what you're going to go do. You know, so there's, like, there's
seriously?
Yeah, dude, there's a history of Superman kind of helping undermine the KKK, you know? So Superman kind of helped the black community
in
the radio shows back in the 40s or 50s or whatever the fuck. I think these episodes were more in the
Superman was fighting the KKK?
It was, you know how radio shows go. They were called the Brotherhood of something. You know what I mean? But it was about race.
Okay.
You know,
it's
one of those things. You know what they're talking about, but they use like another. I can't remember what the name of those episodes are. But that is why I believe the black community really has a connection to Superman, the character. Because I swear to God, like, black people like Superman and Spider-Man more than any other characters.
Because Richard Pryor is in Superman 3. I mean,
that's not why.
I highly doubt any of that.
It's why Richard, I think it's why.
I think that's all bullshit.
It's why Richard Pryor.
And there is no reason you should think the black people like Superman because Richard Pryor was in a Superman.
Yeah,
I was
going
to say, how is that connected?
I spilled knowledge.
So really.
You're pissing on my history lesson.
I've never heard anything in my life.
Oh, man.
So that is really far out, Travis. I can't believe we've deviated from Superman 3, a wacky stumblebum Keystone Cop kind of beginning of a movie. And you have Superman coming in, and then Richard Pryor sort of shows up later in a welfare line and then finally gets a job by accidentally pushing two keys on a computer. So he's instantly a genius. So the KKK, I don't think we're gonna ever make a appearance in this movie, and I don't think it.
Well,
has
no, of course not in this movie.
Gentrification. I'm just saying. By any means.
I'm just saying why I think Richard Pryor would want to be.
He was the Kevin Hart of the time,
for sure. But he made this public statement on Johnny Carson, and Pierre Spangler, the producer, saw that.
Get
he's
that
like,
man.
This guy wants to be
he's
in a
money.
Superman movie, and sure enough,
well, what had
yeah,
Richard
he did.
Pryor done at that time?
Well, this was right after he burned himself. This was
huge,
right after that.
Huge stand-up comedies.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He was
I remember that.
Richard sold Pryor. Out just huge. Like Eddie Murphy. Just
well,
like,
he had those movies too. Richard Gene Pryor Wilder and the Sunset.
Stir Crazy and
the toy.
So the toy was before this.
Oh, that is a joke.
Yeah, personally, I've never really liked it.
Richard Pryor was huge back
then.
He was huge.
He was huge. That is.
When Warner Brothers opens up their checkbook and says, hey, we want Richard Pryor in a Superman 3 movie.
Well, no, this is still
say, hell yeah.
This is still the sell kinds because they know, hey, we're going to push it back on the effects and we're going to fucking put Richard Pryor in a half of this movie. And this does almost, it almost follows the first Superman where Superman has his own story. Richard Pryor is just this character you were talking about in the welfare line, Gus Gorman. That's a Metropolis name.
Yeah.
You got to have a.
But it turns out that he. So he hasn't worked for 35 weeks or something like that, and he gets a job at a computer place, and it turns out that the man's a savant for computers, apparently. Now, we're also convinced that, I mean, this has got to be.
This is the beginning of computers.
Right. So no one who wrote this script had ever used a computer before in their life. They were just aware that there were these things, and they were called computers.
Well, but all computers, didn't you just write commands? Didn't you just write commands, and were you just like. Do go here, do this.
Yeah,
he just wrote
run report for whatever the fuck.
So well, it's I mean, almost like this.
Was,
he's so
what, basic or whatever.
So he's like
it
a downtrodden.
As smart as this.
But he's well because he's like a downtrodden black man that never had the opportunity. But then he learns to, and he's a whiz at computer programming. Right in a time where computers are new to everybody. You know,
I like the idea that he's able to figure out that all financial transactions have like they
round
the guy at lunch
and they round up a half a cent. So he basically
wait, half a day
didn't hackers use the same
office space. And they said they're from Superman 3. They claim that's why I love Office Space.
He routes all the extra change to his account and becomes like
an 86,000 year.
Yeah. I was going to say millionaire, but we didn't quite make it there. Yeah. So, but this attracts the attention of Robert Vaughn, who plays, what's his fucking character's name?
Webster.
The villain.
Snidely Whiplash.
Yeah. If he would have had a mustache, he would twirl it. But bad guy.
But what is also, okay, like, I'm going to make this clear for the rest of this podcast. I'm not a Superman fan.
What?
I'm a Superman idolater.
There you go.
Okay, right. So color everything that you're about to hear.
But you're wearing a Batman t-shirt.
Well,
I just want to point out.
It's wash day. I explained this. Okay. I have Batman for wash day.
All
right. And then I have Superman. So I'm going to explain the super positive, like, because, okay, there's images of me as, I don't even know how young, with Superman toys and whatever. So, like, in this movie has to do with that, because before reading all these comics, before I had Superman 1, 2, 3, I actually saw 4 in theaters in 87.
How let down were you?
Oh, no, not then, dude. I was fucking 5 years old. Oh, right, I was right, 5 years old. I was like, Superman's flying. He's flying. So, yeah, so these guys are going to tell you the movie that probably really exists, and I'm going to tell you, like, what this did in like, Superman lore, legend, and in my mind.
Well, you know that, in as David mentioned earlier, this movie starts off with a slapsticky scene.
It is horrible.
The opening credits, and it goes on and on. It is kind of like a Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton kind
totally
of.
Yeah, it's totally slapstick.
Silent
it's
slapstick through the streets of Metropolis.
European guys like
it's like the
comedy.
Monty Python beginning of a Superman.
If that was the ongoings of Metropolis every 15 minutes, I can see why they left the planet. I see this slapstick. Sticky. I'm walking through an open manhole. I just grabbed the paint roller and the piano.
I'm a blind guy.
Fall
bunch of
on my head
shit.
At any minute.
Yeah. Was there like Superman 2? Correct me if I'm wrong. Starts off directly with the Eiffel Tower, or is there a slapsticky shit at the beginning of that one too?
No, it starts with Clark Kent comes in. And he's like, "What's going on?" There's terrorists at the Eiffel Tower.
Okay,
Kent.
Gotcha. All right. So this is the one I remember.
This is like, because they're like, "Well, we want a different," you know. I mean, because their idea, the producer's idea of this movie is like, "Well, we've had these like the first two movies are these legendary builds up the mythology of the character." This is an episode of Superman, is what this movie is.
Yeah, it feels like it's from the 50s in its mentality.
It does,
it's just got updated stuff and
it's
computers.
Almost like it's TV writing.
Yeah.
But I like all the computer shit, because I do think, what other movies from like 83? I mean, because 84 is the big Terminator, Skynet.
I know, I was like, what year was
83.
Your War Games was 83. Yeah. So yeah, computers was on the bus. I'd
like to play thermal nuclear warfare.
And the problem with the problem with getting rid of Richard Donner is that the Salkinds on their own, they think good filmmaking, especially for children, you know, is like, well, they got to see the person push the button and then see what it does. You know, that's good filmmaking to them, because you see someone do something, it has a reaction. That way, if they fucking barely understand English, this is international filmmakers we're talking about, right? Yeah. If you don't understand the language, you'll like, oh, okay, bad computer, you know, or whatever. He's good at computers. Superman flies. But I do have to say, this movie has some of the coolest Superman flights. What? Like, when it comes to just down on the street, helicopter wire shit, he does. Because if you watch the first two, there's a lot of, like, you see it for 3-4 seconds, cut, 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 where this, they could just have a steady cam and have Superman kind of take off, fly across the road and up a little bit. And you just get a little bit more. This is the positivity I'm talking about. I was like, he flew!
There's
I actually kind of like.
A couple really good flight scenes, but number one and number two, I mean, it was like, those are bar none. I mean, you really thought a guy could fly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This one, there was a lot of, I felt a lot of, you know, you could see the wire kind of thing. Not necessarily see the wire, but the. You know, the landings and stuff like that.
It's like
that.
The pitch control or something. It's still wild, right?
I got it. I knew what they were doing because I saw the first two.
I thought it was so stable because I think in the first two, you see a lot more special effects. And this, you see a lot more of professional wire work. Mm. And I think that's why this one kind of impresses me, because I like wire work without all the quick cuts. I like to look at something like he's taking off. Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not quick
before
cut
to the blue screen shot.
Because when you have quick cuts, that's when you know you're into heavy video editing, right? With all quick cuts, you're like, well, shit, this is chopped up into, this is like, this is 45 different, like, versions of him turning, and they have to put it together to make it look like something, where if you could just have a stable camera and zoom. But no, the opening is fucking ridiculous. It is. Except I do like the photo thing where Clark Kent goes into like a car crashes from a bank robbery, and then Superman goes into a photo booth and a kid puts in money.
Well, I guess what? Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Superman just comes out and then, of course, like takes the photos, looks at him changing, rips off the Superman photo, gives it to the kid. Rubs him on the head.
Yeah.
I love it. The rub on the head.
Christopher Reeve is absolutely by far the greatest Clark Kent.
The greatest
stumbly, you know, silly, you know, kind of too big for his britches. You know, you always see like the sport coat about to rip off. You know?
Yeah.
It's just like you don't quite buy your clothes right, Clark. You're pretty geeky, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he really plays it off.
What was that? Tarantino did a thing in Kill Bill. You remember that?
Where yeah.
She finally gets to Bill, and he's explaining Superman. And it's like, it's great. He's like, Clark Kent is his disguise. Like, Superman's the real guy. Clark Kent's the disguise. And that's yeah. the way that he sees us. He sees us as, you know, these yeah. stupid,
yeah, exactly. you know,
weak people or beings on this planet. Like, because this super, or well, I guess.
I take it from, okay, in the Superman the movie, they say, well, like, when he left Kansas, he went to the Fortress of Solitude for, like, 13 years. So that's where I feel that's the actual Clark Kent. Like, that's actual his weird awkwardness. It comes from there. It comes from him being in the Fortress of Solitude, just talking to Jor-El for, like, 13 years. And that's why when he gets to Metropolis, and he's like, well, that's swell. And Lois is like...
It's an act, so you'll never think that he's Superman. Because the Clark Kent on the farm in Superman 1 is the real...
But I still think he's a hokey dude, right? Because he's still a small town kid, no matter what, right?
He's the guy.
Think no matter what,
Clark, Christopher Reeve plays it great as being a dope, but as far as being, what you would have to go through as a Clark Kent was completely portrayed great in the last Superman, that. The Superman Batman movies.
Oh,
the new Henry.
Because it's like, okay, you already know you're strong. You already know you're going to kick the shit out of the fucking bully. You know what I mean? And you got to hide it. And you fucking crash your bus. You pick the bus up with all the kids. You're all good. But you're never not going to be strong. You're never not going to be a real badass. So you have to hide it. And you can't necessarily be a Clark Dopey Kent and not be Superman. You have to be that in-between guy that works on the oil rig or does this kind of shit.
You
can't always be a dope, what I mean?
But I think the power, a scene in this movie, I think is so fucking important. And it's something that I've really kept to this day when it comes to what Superman is in my mind. When Clark Kent arrives to the Daily Planet and they explain how, well, Lois is going to go to Bermuda, Clark is like, well, I want to go to my family reunion. This is another way the Sal Kinds are like, let's go to the
high school reunion.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I want to go back to Smallville. I think it'll be a really nice kind of character piece or whatever. And, they send... When Lois leaves and blah, blah, everybody's like, bye, you are. I like that joke where Perry White's like,
I'm losing my greatest reporter.
It sucks to lose my best reporter. And Clark Kent's like, well, gee, Mr. White's like, yeah, Lois is like, oh, shit, that's so funny. But then when he's like, all right, well, I'm going to go, him and that lady that are drawing the numbers for the win a vacation, dude, they're just whatever. They don't. Fuck, like, this is what I love about Clark Kent. No one gives a fuck about Clark Kent. That's why he can look exactly like Superman with glasses. No one knows, because no one fucking pays attention to him. They look at the floor. They don't like, I don't want to talk to that fucking dude. He's like a guy in the office named Owen. Or
he's the hayseed in the big city.
It's just, you just don't fucking pay attention to him.
He's a magician. It's smoke and mirrors, man.
Yeah.
You could be he's not the dope. I mean, I think a little bit is up. Superman is no dope. Bruce Wayne is no dope, but they will play your whatever you want them to think you are, but don't ever try to put something past any one of those guys. I mean, they will really.
I agree.
So, okay. So the idea here, so we have like, there's at least two plot lines going on. One follows Clark Kent going back to Smallville, where we finally introduce, well, I guess we did in the first movie, but they bring in Lana Lang, who's a big character in the comics, right?
Yeah, from the other love story. Well, she loves Superman or Clark Kent. That's what's important, the difference, right? Lois loves Superman. Lana loves Clark.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's why I like Lana.
And like so Lana. We get some, like...
Lana is played by...
She's kind of dumb, but I like
Annette.
Annette
O'Toole.
O'Toole, thank
Annette
you.
From O'Toole.
Who played Martha Kent in Smallville?
Yeah,
on the CW.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. For years. Yeah.
I never watched it.
Play Martha.
I don't watch
Superman. They brought everybody. Everybody came back to that show at some point.
They've always thought that was Superman, right?
Kennedy did.
Like Dean Cain is in the new Supergirl show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They've always done a lot of, like, if you were in a Superman movie or show before.
You're in the family. You'll be back.
You're in the family.
Yeah. And the plot there is basically, like, that Lana wants to get out of Smallville. And go to Metropolis.
Yeah,
right?
She's got like an autistic kid named Richie that no one likes.
He's not autistic.
He is autistic. Shitty. Everybody hates him.
Everybody.
Dude, they're at the bowling alley, and everybody's like, "I don't want Rick." It's almost like those aren't. That's not him hanging out with his friends. That's Lana taking him just to be like. Go talk to them.
Those are your precious.
I have to find.
You know
a
what?
Man.
Those are your precious directors directing that kid. Yeah. By the way, so don't call him some autistic kid.
I'm just saying. Everybody hates him. He's
by
not
these
good at
geniuses
anything.
That have thrown all together these Superman movies.
He has to be autistic. I'm sorry.
He's not
the only
dumb character that gets to make him autistic.
He wanders off into a field and hits his head. Right. He has the fucking Lassie with the... I don't think that scene actually ever happened, though, but is Timmy down a well? He goes and falls in front of a combine, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And Superman has
the
to save
the one rock in the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hits
there's
the
a one rock in 50
corn miles
field.
Out.
There's a boulder in the middle of a wheat field.
Yeah.
He was chasing Buster.
And that's the Buster, only... That's the Buster? Only thing going on in
Yo,
the world.
Clark and
Superman
Lana.
Has to go rescue
yeah,
them.
I know, well,
Clark and Lana are having a picnic, okay? And, you know, they're getting to know each other. Because, I mean, Clark can't get with Lois for some reason.
Well, because they had their thing. Yeah, they had their thing in 1 and 2. They can't be together.
But Lana, maybe Lana, because Lana likes the geeky Clark. She doesn't need Superman. She just needs a man to help her take care of this fucking kid. She's got to chase him down everywhere.
Yeah. Well, Superman's got, like, a very kind of, like... He's on his way to Smallville, and there's a chemical fire that's happening at a chemical plant where the acid, right? You know, they got this
the room of
acid. If you it gets hot, it's gonna turn
it
into
it turns from
a
green
cloud
to red
of,
when it gets really hot.
And
it
it's like super acid.
I want to say that's
it's gonna
another,
turn into a cloud of acid that'll eat through concrete
eat through
and eat through everything.
That's another great joke in this movie when he lands and like he's like, "How can I help?" And it's like, "Someone get this man a helmet." Oh, it's you. Never mind the helmet.
But he's very like, you know, he's on the bus with Jimmy Olsen. That's where Jimmy Olsen leaves the movie after this.
Yeah,
no, he got hurt in the when the plant went down.
Yeah,
he was
up on the fire. He was up on the fire ladder or
the
hook and ladder truck trying to take pictures.
Yeah.
But there, I guess maybe here's my point. It seemed like there was a lot of moments where Clark Kent wandering around the streets of Metropolis or wandering by a chemical plant or something could have done something a little less conspicuous than changing into the Superman outfit by, you know, going running behind a fence or jumping through a cop car and coming out the other side. Superman.
Because then you get the guy that goes, nah.
Yeah. I think you nailed it right there. Because that's my other observation about this movie. It's like the first two are adventure movies with a comedic slant to it. This is a comedy.
Because you...
Like, straight up, 100% comedy. Because it has Richard Pryor in it as the star.
So the same Superman that could have blown out a candle 500 miles away didn't choose to blow out this fire, you know, five minutes.
Had to turn into Superman.
500
yards away. Well, you had to, like, lift up the big turbine. I think that's a cool scene to me. To me, Superman doing anything where it looks like he's, like, affecting the environment, like, whether it's picking up a car or...
It's the 1950s. Let's all slide down the side of the building to escape the fire.
Yeah, to get off that building.
Come on, Superman just showed up. It's like, give me a break.
What, are they all going to climb on his back?
Blow it out!
I like the way nobody really... It's like Superman's existed for so long at this point in the world that nobody is really excited to see him. When he shows up, it's like Travis said, oh, it's you. Or he goes into the room with the scientist. Or not a scientist. The guy who's
How
controlling
the... Are we going to get out here?
Yeah, the guy doesn't care that
I can't
Superman.
Leave.
It's like, I can't leave.
For
I gotta
some reason, we have 50 vats of acid that if they get above a certain temperature, they'll turn into a chemical gas cloud that will take up half of the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is this here? Anyway, it's adventurous.
All right, so the second storyline, or is it the first storyline, stars
Gus
Gorman, played by Richard Pryor, who's been recruited by his evil boss, His evil boss has a ditzy girlfriend who talks with an annoying
because the first
baby,
one did. Well,
right.
Not the baby voice.
The baby voice. Right, because this is basically the stand-in for Lex Luthor. They've split Lex Luthor, the character, into two parts.
Let me blow your mind. These are Bond villains.
Well,
because
I thought
Guy Hamilton was supposed to direct Superman the movie before they got Richard Donner.
Yeah.
And that's why they even used vehicles like them floating down on the balloon thing. It was it's all James Bond, dude. These are the Salkinds.
I can see that.
Because they've got
Salkinds trying to make James Bond Superman movies.
They've got these gigantic sets. Like the set for Robert Vaughn's character is like, it's like a Bond villain.
That's a Bond
set.
Villain layer.
It's a Bond villain with things that turn.
Yeah. The map that comes out of the switches out of the floor.
But I do like this villain because this is when we get into the whole 80s, you know, evil capitalist or evil, you know, like
he's going to affect the world's economy by destroying. But that's what Luthor did in the first movie.
No. Yeah, the guy owns all these different companies, right? And he's like, well, if I can affect the weather of this Vulcan satellite to burn up the coffee beans in Colombia, well, then my coffee beans that I own, well, we're going to be the main.
How's that different from if I destroy half of the California coast, the
what
real
do you mean?
Estate
how is that?
Mine?
It's, I mean, yeah, it's still corporate. It's still kind of a.
I'm going to destroy
it's not like
this
taking
and make
over
this other thing very valuable. If I destroy this that is there right now, I'll make this other thing very valuable.
Like, I guess since it's still like a money-making thing, I guess it's still the same, but it's still a different plot. Like, if you're a criminal, just because you, like, point a gun and rob somebody, just because I guess it's the same act, but you're doing it in different ways.
He's the super genius. I guess that's the thing. If you're
he's
gonna
not
go
a
up
super
against
genius, though. He's just this guy that's like, well, I own all this shit. If you make it, if I can suppress these other businesses or these other whatever, well, then my stock and my
shit.
Still
clever.
It's clever. I think it's clever.
But he needs Gus Gorman, the computer genius, to actually make this stuff happen.
And that was played by Kevin Hart, correct?
Remake.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah. So, but the problem with this whole thing with their plot, and I was going to say he has a ditzy assistant who talks like with a baby voice, and he also has this very butch sister.
And everybody calls him a man, calls her a man.
Yeah, and that was kind of funny.
Very funny.
She's like a younger version of the old hag from the Goonies.
Right.
Yeah.
And their plot is thwarted by Superman. Goonies? Right, he goes and he fixes everything, so the price of the beans never deteriorates. So they figured the next thing that they're going to do is they're going to have to kill Superman. How do you do this?
Super bullets.
Well, yeah, that idea doesn't
homemade
go very
kryptonite.
Far. But they're going to come up
super poison.
Gus with coming up with homemade kryptonite, and this I think comes up. This leads us to what I think is the most inspired sequences in this movie. Right, where you get drunk Superman.
Yes.
Right?
Well, because if somebody can basically turn the world backwards, I mean, they have unlimited power, right? So the best thing you could do is, like, weaken the character's morale, right? Yeah. That's how you know, I mean, this is why there's that whole superdickery.com, right? To sell comic books for
jerk
generations.
Superman on Twitter, yeah.
You have to, like, be like, what? Superman's not good anymore? You know, you have to. That's the only real way to shake things up unless you just have him fight another super guy, which they just had him fight three supervillains and two. Right. So the
but
only
this
way
is, like, a new idea to this movie, which I guess is where
but
it
but not to
like
the comics, for sure.
Right,
yeah. Not for the character. The idea of making Superman bad is just, you know,
in the
happens
comics,
every once in a while. And also kind of using a red kryptonite
red
kind
kryptonite.
Kind of a story where you take another kryptonite that affects him in a weird way, and he just has to, like, work through it. There's, like, really nothing he can do. He has to wait it out.
It's like
right?
a cold. You just gotta let it pass.
It's a cold. It's like a radiation sickness.
Yeah.
You know? I wish there was a scientist character to be like, explain that.
But it is just like he touches the thing for a brief period of time and then just becomes a super dick, right?
Yeah, after a while, which I do like. I like how Christopher Reeve can show that in his eyes. You know, you can see where he gets like rapey on Lana, right?
No,
like it's in his eyes.
That was seriously like the best acting I've seen Christopher Reeve do. Is become like asshole Superman.
Maybe because I'm psychologically like implanted with this Superman that when I see him be bad, I'm like, oh fuck, that guy's evil. Like, not him.
Yeah. But he gets laid. Superman gets laid,
which is horrible,
on the Statue of Liberty.
Yep, by the baby.
He gets good and drunk.
Oh, I forgot to mention, he turns into Henry Cavill. His costume. If you look at the Man of Steel costume and look at this, that's the color. So what was bad Superman in 83 is now what they consider to be, I guess, good Superman. Yeah.
All the colors are very muted and dark in the costume.
Do you think he gets super drunk?
In this, he does.
Well, he gets drunk. Does he get super drunk?
Or is it just kind of like...
Anything Superman does becomes super...
I'm going to go with he gets super drunk because he splits into two people afterwards. I mean, that doesn't happen to me when I get...
That doesn't happen to me.
The Clark Kent and the Superman. And they get to... Or sorry, and the evil Superman. And they get to duke it out in a junkyard.
Oh, that was so good.
Which is... No, it's very metaphysical. I like that.
Was it actually happening or was it only in his head?
Fell in his head.
All right, so this fails. I mean, eventually Superman, you know, does find himself again and becomes the hero who can right all the wrongs and correct the pitch on the Leaning Tower of Pisa after he fucks it up. So the bad guys come up with a new idea.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because if you're going to fight a Superman, it only goes
to be Brainiac
that you have a super. Computer.
Before they did the account books, they're like, Brainiac, yeah! And then they're like, supercomputer.
Because when Richard Pryor found his newfound talent of computers, all of a sudden he also knows how to build them.
No, he just had the idea. He designs
it on a napkin by like a drawing. He's like, look, this is my, this is my blueprint for the
supercomputer. I believe Jeff Goldblum did that in The Fly. He just tells...
But that's Jeff Goldblum.
Well, come on, God damn it. Gus just found his calling. It was computers. He just didn't know it before because he was, you know, brought down by the man in Metropolis.
Obviously.
So, yeah, the computer that...
housed somewhere in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Well, it has an array of, like, anti-Superman devices, right? So
powered by Pac-Man.
They're waiting for...
It was powered by Atari.
It was, yeah. It was
the video that always looked like the coolest video game you wanted to play when you were five.
I think you could buy that game on Atari and play it.
There's an arcade game that looks kind of like that, fucking Atari.
The side-scrolling... Yeah, there was something for Atari at the time this came out. Like, I don't know if it was Superman or Superman...
Oh, it didn't I bet it was like a blue block. But I'm talking there is an arcade game from like the early 90s that kind of has that side-scrolling flight kind of. You could be two players with a weird ghost Superman. Mm. Weird.
It wouldn't surprise me if Alexander Salkind was like, my son, he played Pac-Man. Pac-Man, Superman should fight Pac-Man. Super Pac-Man.
I'm sure
that's its movie.
I'm sure they're like, Atari, we need help paying for Superman 3. We've got Richard Pryor. Please, let us. Coke, Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's what I love about Superman movies. It's always like what people get punched into is Marlboro trucks and shit.
Yeah, so the computer has a bunch of these...
Defense system.
Which is reminiscent of a scene that was originally, I guess, cut out of the original Superman, where as Superman's coming after Lex Luthor in his fortress, they've got, like, they burn him, they shoot him with a bunch of machine guns and all this other stuff. He's got, and they freeze him, right?
He goes through a gauntlet.
Yeah.
That wouldn't make sense for anybody but Superman. Like, if cops were coming down there, like, you would freeze cops to death?
Yeah, but
you'd burn them alive?
But this is what happened, right? Because it was cut out of that first movie, they said, goddamn, we're going to put it in Superman 3. So they shoot missiles at Superman. And then when he finally gets there, the computer, like, knows your weakness, which is like, why everybody else's weakness is a fucking gun, but Superman needs kryptonite ray.
Yeah.
And so that goes after him. And then it figures out that...
There's a cool invisible bubble that, like...
Oh, yeah.
What is that made out of?
Yeah, yeah.
I always thought that was a little freaky. It always looked a little weird because it looks like there's weird white veins or some shit. Exactly. Yeah. It looks weird. It always freaked me out a little bit.
Gun. Yeah.
But I do think...
Isn't that the same thing he whipped off his chest in Superman 2?
No, we're not talking about that, goddammit. We're never
choke you with my
Nobody's ever talking about that. We're actually censoring this part of the podcast. We don't talk about
Travis blocks that part.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to.
How?
Because that's another movie.
We Superman 2.
Donner came out and corrected that.
Yeah, he cut that out.
But I do like how, because regardless of, I don't know, how, I still think they made it look like a challenge for Superman. you know, he's on the ground. I mean, it still looks like this computer could fuck Superman up. That's why Gus Grant needs to, like, no, Superman. This is why I kind of like this character. The idea that, yeah, sure, he wants money. He wants to help this bad guy by, you know, doing his computer stuff. But he doesn't, like, necessarily want to kill people, let alone Superman. He likes Superman. Yeah. I like how, like, even though he's a bad guy, he still almost has, I assume, is the Richard Pryor that Pierre, I just forgot his
last name. Salinger. Isn't Pierre Salinger? Whatever the fuck it was.
Anyway.
Well, of course he's Spengler.
Pierre Spengler. But I'm just saying that he's able to have the same, you know. I kind of like when a bad guy isn't 100% bad. Like, he wants money.
He's not doing anything that directly physically harms people.
As far as he knows. Even though, if you ruin the crop of Columbia, everybody would starve there. Exactly. He's not seeing it. He's like, that's not Superman. I love Superman. Yeah. Fuck Columbia.
Yeah.
He did deliver Superman the kryptonite, which he thought was going to kill him. It didn't, but that was the intention of giving him the fake kryptonite.
Yeah, he thought he was going to kill him, but he felt bad about it, I guess.
I don't think he really thought it was going to work, though.
Well, that's why I'm talking about this villain as, like, kind of what I considered it. For 83 to be a pretty cool villain is the idea that he's able to get people to do things through money. And, you know, he is this 80s capitalist. Like, he's the Wall Street guy, right? When did Wall Street come out?
87.
You know, it's like, this is that guy, right? This is this is Gecko, whatever his name is, in a Gordon Gecko in a Superman movie. Yeah. And I think in a weird way.
No, that wasn't.
It was. It was.
That guy was a idiot.
Dude, he had that awesome line where he's like, Gus, if there's anything I hate more than anything, it's greed. That's a great line.
So he's the opposite of Gecko.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he just wants to put money down and he expects people to do things for him. I really like this villain. It captures my imagination.
Here's a number. I don't know if I missed this or if it just was pointless. Whenever they showed his little blonde bimbo and she was by herself, she was obviously really smart. She was reading intelligent books. Yeah. She had intelligent comments. The baby voice was gone.
Yeah.
Why didn't that ever play out? Like, what was the point of that?
The point is she is smart enough to pretend to be a bimbo so she could live that lifestyle.
That was it?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know.
That's a small joke, right? Okay. It's a small joke that you would assume this is a bimbo,
she's
actually smart. You know, that book she's reading is a famous philosopher whatever the hell.
Yeah.
I really like, I don't like her baby voice, but I do like her. I do like her, like, random kind of, like, I like when the machine's breaking down. She's like, it must have figured out how to do this and this, whatever. Like, well, I'm out of here. I like the idea.
And then she immediately turns it back on. She's like, baby, I'm here. And she just, like, goes into baby voice.
But I do like how she's concerned about Superman, just like Miss Tessbacher in the first
one. I didn't know if there was, like, more to that or if it was just, like,
just a few, like, a gag to do a few times. Same thing as, like, the guy's baby sister looks like a man. You know, they just keep on throwing that joke out there because it's...
I have a question. All right, so you said you were young when you saw this movie. You were young when you saw this movie?
I was a kid, yeah.
I've seen this movie my whole life. That's how young I was.
Okay, so my wife saw this movie when she was young, and she was traumatized by a moment in this sequence we're talking about where the sister, the evil sister... gets grabbed by the supercomputer and is turned into a robot.
That's traumatizing.
That's scary.
As a kid.
That's a little scary. 13.
It was so unexpected for the rest of this movie. All of a sudden you're like, whoa,
dude,
what
that's
is
an
this?
Actual scary monster. This whole movie is Richard Pryor like pretending to be a Texas dude, you know?
I'm like, I mean, I'm sitting there watching and pretending and I'm like, to there's be your villain. Like, that should have been the movie.
It's the supercomputer, basically...
Made physical.
That's your movie right there.
It was very underwhelming this time around as an adult.
I still think it's sad because it's like everybody shits on the character the whole movie, and then she's trying to escape and the thing turns... It's just like, oh, man, this poor creature. She's like... I feel so bad for her.
It's strange because you turn that into something else when you're younger.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you see it now, it's like, Jesus, that's fucking awful.
But it goes by so
quickly,
too.
Turn it into this thing when you're a little kid.
When you're a kid, it's like it's larger than...
Holy shit, that girl just got turned into a computer.
Yeah. But I still think it's like kind of scary look. I still think the makeup's good. If you look at the arm. Dude, if you look at the arm, look at the design on her arm. Dude, it's a good design. I shit you not. It's a good design.
I like the concept. I do like the concept.
Well, Superman, of course, I mean, I suppose.
Saves the day, gives... Richard Pryor, fucking, hey, brother man.
Oh my god.
He gives him the handshake.
It doesn't even say a word to him, which is kind of weird. He's just like, and I did like the, like, from where you're standing, you look like one of the bad guys, you know, because Richard Pryor's kind of like, hey, I'm not with these guys. It's like, looks like you don't mind helping. And I kind of like that Superman's like, hey, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
You up there. You know? But then as soon as, like, well, he does help him. Yeah,
it's like this guy is just
multiple,
like,
felonies. Yeah. I'll fight at your new job.
That's because, you know, because
he's Superman. Superman, he sees the good in people.
Even Superman has white privilege.
I blew that oil back in the tanker. Fuck it.
It had to be said. Superman's like, hey, this guy broke all these laws, made a weather satellite almost take out a thing, made all these oil tankers, which, fuck, we didn't even talk about, collect into the center of the thing to control oil and create a gas panic. And Superman's like, he needs a good job. You know, it's like, that's his only issue. It's like, that's the only reason he's a criminal. He needs a good job. Gus is like, like, even though it's like, well, you needed the job.
Yeah, I know.
It's like,
yeah, that's what I'm
saying. But that's funny. Like,
we are coming up on the hour mark, so we have anything left to say about Superman 3 before what? Before Igor? Yeah. Anyway.
Anybody?
All right. So, Igor, where are you, sir?
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Why, thank you, Igor.
Hey, Igor, I actually brought some old Superman comics if you want to, like, you know, read them or whatever.
Well, no, you've
you
got
can
the
take, I guess.
Igor slime all over them. That's just
Jesus, I wouldn't.
He's
call
looking
it
terrible.
Slime.
I think it was Sean's week to take him to the groomers.
On the upside, it is kind of kryptonite colored green slime. So this is the Igor's mailbag segment. If you haven't already determined, you can write to us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. You can also get a hold of us on Twitter. At Sat Freak Show is our handle, or you can write to us at SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com. Ben Harris writes into us and says, hey guys, greetings from the UK. Just wanted to say, love the podcast. Keeps me entertained whilst doing the night shift at work. If you guys ever need any movie suggestions, let me know as I collect 80s and 90s horror movies. Keep up the good work.
Dude, you should always send in.
Yeah. Always taking suggestions.
Especially if it's something we've never seen before. You know, I'm really interested in.
Yeah.
Especially from the UK. What did we always talk about? Like, that is the UK Psycho. It's Peeping Tom.
Yeah, Peeping Tom.
Yeah. Let us know if you see Peeping Tom. Is that your psycho? I want to know.
Yeah.
Give us suggestions right in. We want to hear it.
Yeah.
I love
and
me some breaks.
I think we should always probably, you're listening to us the best way that you possibly can on the night shift. All right. So.
When you're tired, not paying attention.
Superman 3. Crypticus writes in and says, I'm sure I'm not the only one who as a kid was just fucking terrified by the, that was all caps, by the zombie robot monster lady from the climax of Supes 3. She was like the high-tech version of that scary slime-possessed bitch from Prince of Darkness, which also made me soil my union suit. With the childhood trauma I received from those two scary ladies, plus those in The Exorcist, The Evil Dead, The Witches, and the worst, Meg Mucklebones from Legend.
Ooh.
I'm surprised
indeed
I'm not terrified of women in general.
We'll talk about that in a couple weeks.
There you go. For Ghoulies 2, Dom Cree says, he just saw this on Twitter, and no doubt there has to be some Ghoulies costumes for you guys. Holy fucking shit, dude. Turns out the Full Moon Studios is happy to announce that they just signed a deal to release masks and costumes for the films of Full Moon Features in 2017.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I guess maybe we'll be able to get a Ghoulie. They have a Ghoulie toilet figure coming out of the toilet. Dom also says, please also tell Travis not to inflict munchies upon us. Not even I could find anything redeeming in that pile of trash.
That is an excellent
suggestion. I only saw it once when I was probably 10 or 11, dude. I can't even imagine. I love the cover. That's all I'm going to say, dude. The munchie looking up the skirt with the cigarette
woman
or some
in red.
Shit.
It's a woman in red poster.
Excellent suggestion. Thank you for that comment.
And finally, Babette Georgie writes about the, because I posted the Scream Until You Like It Wasp video on our Facebook page. She says, I don't remember this at all. Was it even played on Headbangers Ball? Well, you're a poet and didn't know it, but I can guarantee you that, yes, Scream Until You Like It did play on Headbangers Ball. For all you kids out there, that was MTV. Had a show where they played hard rock videos. Ricky Rackman was the host. And it was awesome. And that's where I first saw the video. I hadn't seen Ghoulies 2. I saw Scream Until You Like It first. back in the day.
Crazy. What is that?
Do you hear that sound?
Uh-oh. What sound?
That's Uh-oh. The tolling of the bell. Oh, good God. Oh, you know what that means.
Dude, please.
Wrap-ups are coming.
The hour has come, sirs.
Thank you, Lurk. Oh,
thanks, Lurk. God.
Don't. Was don't Dave make eye was contact. Was Lurk like when he didn't scare you when you came to the door earlier? Did he?
He's a little abrasive when you first meet him.
He doesn't mean to be so. He just doesn't have a soul. He just.
I have a little bit of tinkle in my pants.
Yeah, a lot of people have that. It's normal. Lurk. It's totally normal.
I didn't know. I wouldn't. I don't.
So Lurk brings us to the wrap-up segment of the show where we're going to go around the bar one final time and let you know like how we felt about the movie.
So Superman first up, 3. We've got Colin.
Holy shit, I'm in that seat again. So Superman 3, yeah. I do like the fact that this movie kind of, in 1983, we're dealing with concepts such as the internet and artificial intelligence.
New things. Like,
long before this was a thing. I mean, you know, the idea that, you know, Gus can go into a computer terminal in a, whatever, what was it, an insurance
we
store
came.
Or something in Smallville and affect a weather satellite. I also like the fact that, like, if you reprogram a weather satellite, you can actually change the weather.
You might Fantastic. Be able to, I don't know.
So, yeah. I think, personally, the first Superman movie is a goddamn classic. It's, mm-hmm. to me, one of the best movies that's ever been made. There's something to the character of Superman in the Donner movies, right? That is, like, you know, so true blue and, you know, the world's ultimate Boy Scout. But I think there's something about maybe just the whole thing of superheroes or Superman in general. It's like there's like this really fine line that you have to run it on. And Donner figured that shit out. And his movie is fantastic. Lester, unfortunately, in his hands, Superman 3 is what you're afraid of that is going to happen to Superman in a movie where it's like, man, this stuff really is silly as all hell. I mean, because it's a comedy, because they can't figure out how to treat it seriously. So they're just like, we're going to make it funny because it's inherently just goofy. You got a guy in tights, he turns into blah, 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 and the kids will love it. And it's like, it really is, I mean, like a dramatic, I think, step down, maybe even from Superman 2. I got to go back and watch Superman 2 again, but as far as quality. So now you look at it as almost like, you know, it is like a, you know, it's a bad movie. Is it funny? It's not the fucking train wreck that I remember Superman 4. I think that's like, yeah, that's awful. That's so this is, it is better than that.
Superman 4, another Clark Kent, different Clark Kent.
But where was I going? Not the so much the tone of the character, but I mean the movie, like once you actually take like the reverence for the character out of it, and now you got Superman appearing at like birthday parties and all that stuff. Richard Pryor is the main, you know, star of the movie. I mean, it just kind of feels like you've cheapened it. The bad guy is like really kind of, I didn't think he was terribly well defined. It was just like, I'm the Bond supervillain and, you know, this is what I'm doing. So it's a bad movie, but it's not necessarily like really funny. Like the comedy that I thought that was in the movie misfired all over the place. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just age, because I think, you know, some of that stuff you had to be there when it actually came out in order to experience it. And now it's like, as time has gone on, you're like, that's not really funny. The brand of comedy, I guess, from that era has passed us and it didn't play, but at the same time, we were making fun of it for like its goofy special effects or its goofy, like how it was treating computers or the anachronisms of the movie, you know, being from the 80s or whatever. So in that respect, I don't know. Would I recommend Superman 3? I don't think so, because I like the first one so much. I think I'd say watch Superman, the movie, definitely, and probably see Superman 2. But you can probably, to me, I think you can skip Superman 3 and 4. That was a double whammy on mine, but there you go.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. Basically, I think this movie, I think this movie disappoints what people want from Superman. I really think the first one and even the second one, it delivers this phenomenon that is Superman. The second one, the second one's not the greatest. The first one is amazing. We can all agree that's one of the best movies. It's amazing. But this third one, it cheapens Superman for me. It really does. I know they're trying a different approach with the comedy, but it just doesn't play out. And I don't know. It's just too silly. From the start of it, you're like, what am I watching? Like, what is this intro? It just brings down the tone from the very beginning, and it never comes back up, in my opinion. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. Like, Richard Pryor was funny, right? Like, at some point...
Richard Pryor was funny.
Point, he was funny.
I thought he was funny in this movie. He did his drunk routine. If you ever see a stand-up, he does a drunk routine.
Well, yeah, no, stand-up is different, but I thought that it cheapened Superman. I really think it did. I did enjoy drunk Superman. I like the whole psychological battle between Clark and Superman. I thought that was really good. I think that could have played out a little better than what it did. And I did like I like the concept of the computer woman at the end. I think that could have been built into a bigger villain than it was. I think that was something really interesting. I will say this, though. At the very end, when you hear that John Williams score, you almost forget that you didn't like what you just watched. Because you're just like, yeah, that's fucking Superman. Like, it just made me happy. I don't know.
It's but, the buildup.
I know, it is. I love that score. You can't beat that score. But overall, I would say you pass on Superman 3.
I'm just a guest. And this movie was awful. And I'd rather be playing catchphrase right now when I'm dangling in front of everybody.
Well, thank God we invited you.
So I'd like to wrap up, you know, my little end of the night podcast by saying, yeah, it was funny at parts with Richard Pryor, but it was an awful, awful movie. So I will wrap up my givings and say thank you for letting me be a guest again. And off to you, Travis.
Yeah, I like this movie because Superman is a watch Superman 1 and 2. Besides a bumbling Clark and just a guy that, like, says nice stuff, it's like you never really get deep into who Superman is, right? And I'm not saying this movie necessarily does that, but I'm saying this movie, it gives you a Clark Kent. And that's why I like this movie. This movie, to me, humanized Superman. For me, as a child watching this,
true,
it was a break. Like the same way if you watch the old George Reeves show, you're with Clark Kent, this reporter guy who's going after stories, and they just need to turn into Superman to help the story, right? But Clark Kent still has a fucking goal on his own. Not Superman, Clark Kent has a goal. And that's why I do like Superman 3 for fucking what it is. I mean, I don't kid myself. Like, I laugh at the shit, you know, because, I mean, it's just fucking hysterical, you know. But there was a long time where, you know, when I watched all my superhero movies, all my horror movies that I grew up a little bit, and I rewatched them, and I cut all the list by like 70 to 80% of what I watched. Somehow, like, I fucking like this movie. Almost better than Superman 2, because Superman 2 to me is a little boring. Where this, to me, this is trying to be the Guardians of the Galaxy of its day. It's trying to say we can have a comic book, and we can put all this really goofy, fucking funny, quirky shit in it. This doesn't work, because this is, to me, a European sense of humor in an American sort of entity, or whatever you want to call it. I think that's what's going on.
That's what it felt like, yeah. But we established it was directed by an American director.
But this guy's, they're cozy with the international comedy scene. Richard Lester directed for before. This is the movies they make, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's why the comedy, I think some comedy really works really well, and a lot of it is dialogue comedy with little quips where, well, you just might have to have a few. You got to, I don't know. I'm not saying it's deep. You got to think about it. But some of it, when you look at the writing, you're like, ah, fuck, that's funny. You know, like I never got, until this viewing, I never got where where he's like, well, Richard Pryor is talking to the ugly girl, sister of the rich guy. And he's like, well, Superman dried the land all up like one of those heat dryers in a men's room. You know what I'm talking about? And she like quirks her eyebrow because everybody's calling her a man the whole movie. I'm like, oh, that's funny. That's a little hidden joke that you could watch this 50 times. And because you could be bored with the movie, you could be just whatever. But that's a joke that might hit you like some night. You're like, ah, fuck. You know what he's saying? You know, she's been in a men's room before. She's a man. You know, that's funny. That's, and I do like this villain because even when they made Superman the movie, like Lex Luthor was the mad scientist. Aha, he's a mad scientist. Where, okay, so this is 83, and they had this idea of like, well, let's do this corporate, you know, everything in the 80s was about evil corporate, you know, OCP for RoboCop, fucking. Well, in 86, they turned Lex Luthor into Lex Corp. It's like, so it's like, in a weird way, I don't necessarily think, holy fuck, this is the pre, like, whatever you want to call it, of the Lex Luthor we know today in comics and in Superman Legend. Superman, or Lex Luthor, is the owner of Lex Corp, the new Man of Steel, Batman, you know, Lex Corp Industries. It's like, fuck, in a weird way, this movie to me beat like DC, or could have given DC the idea of, well, like, yeah, let's make Lex Luthor, since it's the 80s and big business is our, you know, well, I mean, all movies and comics are written by like liberal minded people, so there's like all big business is the bad guys. Let's have Lex Luthor be the owner of a big business. That way he's getting away with things legally, so Superman can't touch him the way he could just beat up a scientist or smash through a door and be like, yeah, all right, Luthor, I'm taking you to prison, because he's covering his tracks with all his little legal loopholes. So I'm not saying this movie's like, this is what created the Lex Luthor of the modern age, but I'm saying it predates it with kind of basically some of the same ideas of the Lex Luthor of the modern age. And I just think that's fun and interesting. And I think that's another weird challenge for Superman. And another, like, I just think it's a, yeah, what you were saying about the, how his like corporate dealings is almost the same as the Lex Luthor land scheme, but not in a, but in a weird way, I think it's a little, not better, but it's not so mad scientist schemey. I'm going to launch rockets and hit the thing. And the, this is more like, no, we're doing things the way people really do, industrial espionage. We're using computers to hack into, this is the shit they've always said World War III will be done on the computer. You know, World War III isn't supposed to be guns, nukes. It's going to be, just think about it, people. Superman 3. You put a guy in a spandex costume and say he's from another planet. You fucking got my imagination. You got my money. Especially Christopher Reeve, you know, the guy that really like fucking embodied Superman for a generation. And like, I mean, come on, like, he doesn't know these movies suck cock. Same thing with like Hugh Jackman and all these Wolverine movies. He knows they're horrible, but the guy knows the character. People right. love yeah. the character, so damn it, he's going to fucking do it with a smile and serious. Like, to me, this whole movie is a different movie than when Christopher Reeves is saying something as Superman. Like, to me, those stand out. You know, I'm like, holy fuck, that, yeah, that's so Superman. You know, that's a serious Superman that, to me, that's Christopher Reeve. That's not Richard Lester. That's not the Newmans. That's Christopher Reeve saying, this is how fucking Superman, when he lifts up Jimmy, and Jimmy like, ow, he goes, all right, sorry, you know. He has all like an authoritative, like almost like a fireman, cop like thing to his voice. It's like, God damn it, that's Christopher Reeve. That's none of these other filmmakers. That's not even Donner, and not even whatever. That's Christopher fucking Reeve bringing real life to this goddamn character. I love Superman 3.
Oh, fucking shit, do you love Superman 3? Jesus fucking Christ, do you love Superman 3?
I'm not saying it's perfect. God, I'm just saying.
Damn, do you love that movie.
Fuck, I might even show Superman Quest for Peace.
Oh, don't do... No. Please okay.
I might. Okay. Because you guys made fun of Man of Steel, and now I want you to know. No, Man of Steel is looking pretty goddamn good right about
Colin, wrap this motherfucker up, please.
I just did.
Whose pick is the next
first
week?
Of all, if you don't want damn. Superman for the Quest for Peace to appear on this show, please write in and tell us.
Of course but, they do.
Quest for a smoke. Jesus so, Christ.
Next week, Sean is going to be picking the movie. He's not here tonight. He couldn't make it because of another important engagement. And so we're going to be watching Ghostbusters 2. So that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, the basement is going dark.